All right. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we'll get started where everyone else does. As far as earliest childhood memories, what are we getting into?
In regards to a specific memory or?
Just what are we rocking earliest memories? I think for me, it was preschool and I was playing with glue all over my hands and I kept on getting in trouble for that's all I was doing.
Well, you know what? I did have a pretty interesting childhood because I remember that every time I hate up to this day waking up early.
Okay. So
I would cry every day when they woke me up for school. So I was like, no. And then like, if my dad was driving me to school, there was no way. Because my dad is such a like a, you know, girl dad that he's like, no, I'm not going to like drop her to school, you know, crying, all that. So he will always take me back home. So I probably went to like school like 3 times in a year when I was in pre-K. So like, I would just say like, I hang it out mostly at home. But if it was my mom, I was like, nope, no way. You're going out of here if
That's
you're
fantastic.
Crying the whole hour. So yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, it was great. I mean, obviously I did not like to go to school, but it was pretty fun. I like to, you know, stay more active and like play more with the kids. And but it was like more after school activities than actual school. So that will be like my memories.
So what kind of after school activities were you doing at a young age?
So I do have an older brother and an older sister. So my dad too, my brother played baseball at a pretty high level. Okay. So get this, my brother is 9 years older than me. So he was a teen by the time like I was like walking and whatnot.
Okay.
So my mom will just like, because there was not really an activity that you can leave like a 3-year-old like after school, you know what I'm saying? So they will take me to practice. So I'll be like on the field with the boys playing baseball or more like chasing the balls and the plants or whatever it is. But, you know, it was like, that's like when my parents knew kind of like I was really like into an active lifestyle because I was really like getting out there and like, you know, obviously I was not able to like hold a bat or anything like that, but like they knew that I was trying to like mimic what they were doing.
Okay. So did both your parents coach baseball or did your dad coach?
No. So my dad is actually not really that active. He's not really into like sports or working out, but he's a very like sports fanatic, especially for baseball.
Okay.
So like that was like his main passion. My mom is a little bit more active and she likes to like work out and like just, but she was like a really, really like fan of like her kids, like doing sports and just like, you know, being out there. So, yes.
So at a young age, was your mom kind of pushing you to do sports and your dad was just like a little bit or?
So my mom, 100%. My mom, and I think I would be the same as a mother. Like she was so blindsided, you know, like after school activities, moving, you know, playing something, whatever sports. My siblings played way more sports than I did.
Okay.
But my dad was just a supporter. He was like really into sports. He just didn't do it himself.
Okay.
So like he was just more like a supporter role. Mm-hmm. Obviously financially and I guess personally too.
other than baseball, what sports did you start playing at a young age?
So baseball was not like an actual sport that I played. It was just because of like filling in time. But at a very young age, I started being really good at volleyball. That was my first sport, I would say. I did gymnastics very little. Actually, this crushed my soul because my coach, like I was there like for 3 to 4 months. Obviously, like as any young girl, you love the gymnastics, you want to be there.
Yeah.
But the coach was like she told my mom, he's like, she's not gonna be good. She's gonna suck because he's like, her limbs are too long, like their flexibility is just gonna be limited, you know, like you always want like a 5'2" gymnast and she's not gonna be it. So like, I will encourage you, like, if you want to really like go for a long-term sport, it won't be gymnastics. So obviously I was crushed at 6 years old. So, like, I mean, like, this is, I grew up in South America, so, like, it's not the same, I guess, protocol, like, here, where it's, like, no, you know, you gotta take it easy, you gotta have fun with sports, and, like, you know, all that. No, over there, they don't care, and it's, like, I mean, I appreciate it now, because I did not waste my time.
Yeah.
Up to this day, yeah, I'm 5'10", so, like, I understand, like, I will never make it through gymnastics. But at that time where I was only six and, you know, like, how tall can a 6-year-old be? So it's like, I was so crushed. So I mean, I put my chips, well, all my parents put my, the chips more in like gymnastic, volleyball.
Okay.
And that's like where I spend most of my time, doing, and I honestly played, all through when I was 10, 11 until like tennis, started taking over a little bit more of my time. So
that's interesting in the gymnastics thing, because here you walk into any gymnastics, place or gym, and when you start like getting better and stuff like that, immediately they're like, hey, we got to get you on the competitive. We're going to get you to the Olympics. But somehow, I don't think everyone's making it to the Olympics. So
no, it's not. And I think, like, here, it's like, I love the passion, because, like, I like have experienced both way when I was little. You know, the United States side of sports is 100% supportive, 100%. Like, if you want to like play chess, like, go for it. You know, if you want to play football, go for it. You know, like, they 100% supportive, but like, in my case, it's like, it just doesn't make any sense if you're not really like, and that's totally fine because of genetics or like stuff like that. If you're look like you're more on the skinnier side, you probably are better like at, you know, running or like, you know, more, to those, or like if you're playing football and you're like a skinnier side, you're going to be, you know, a wide receiver, you're not going to be a tackler, you know, kind of style. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that over there, I guess it's like a little bit more brutal, like the honesty.
Yeah.
So I did appreciate, I mean, I never continued like playing gymnastics, so I don't know to this day. But it was highly appreciated at the moment. Well, yeah.
And I think at that point, it's a game of numbers. Like, if you're going to be an anomaly, like, you might fight through, but a majority of people probably not.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you were playing volleyball, growing to be 5'10", what position were you playing?
So I played mostly spiker.
Okay.
I did. So I obviously started at the very like amateur level and like school, high school. So we play like interleague, college. But then I was getting like MVP awards and like stuff like that. So I was getting the eye of like the state.
Okay.
And then they recruit me at the state level. And then over there, when you, I guess like when you progress to a higher level, you're no longer the tallest as a 5'10 player. So I did, I was still a spiker, but I was more into the front of the court. So not the main spiker, but at the same time, Spring Lemaire's position, I believe it started at 4 or 1. I had a really good serve. So that helped a lot. Then I started making it to the national team, and that was great.
What age is this at?
That was probably when I was going to, that was what, when I was like 10, 11.
Wow. So
okay,
so getting after it.
10, 11. But then that's when I started playing tennis. I started playing tennis when I was almost 11.
Okay.
So because again, I'm taking it back to my mom. My mom was like super fan of like having to play two sports.
Okay.
So not only one. So usually like my second sport will like vary. So I did from like swimming to diving to like other sports. So right before I started playing tennis, I was doing swimming and I just didn't like the pool. The pool was too cold. So I was like, okay, you got to pick another sport. And like, you know, the club also, you know, offers tennis. So why not like just having a try?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know about that. You know, like this seems like a lot. And I was, at first I was just not into it. And to be very honest with you, my dad and my like my parents were not like sure if I was gonna like follow through, because like the other sports I would like be like for not even 6 months. So it's like, oh, let's not like invest too much into this. Like, she's already has like volleyball like secure and whatnot. So like, let's leave her there, but like, let's see. So I started, my dad bought me a broken racket. The frame was broken. Cause like, it was like, what, like $20 or something? Not even, like it was something ridiculous. And so I started playing tennis with like a broken frame racket. Cause he's like, well, whatever, like, let's see where she goes and like stuff like that. And somehow like I had a really already like a good hand-eye coordination. Mm-hmm. So I started liking it more, and I started coming to practice. I started like, you know, beating people in my class. So my coach was like, why don't you get her like into like, you know, just intro like club kind of.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. And my grandma was the one who like bought me like an actual racket.
Nice.
So, like, she cannot be playing with like, you know, a broken frame. So I started playing these tournaments and I started winning the tournament. So that's when like they actually signed me for like to play at a national level, like federate me, I guess that's the term. And this was like under 12. So I had like volleyball, tennis. I mean, I was still not like too big in tennis yet, but like volleyball was like taking a lot of my time.
Yeah.
So then I somehow like I did pretty good, and I was qualifying for like bigger tournaments in like for Venezuela. And that's when like the decision making started to come into place, because they were inviting me to like bigger tournaments in volleyball. I was traveling a lot for tennis, but it was not till I was 14 that I had to ultimately like quit volleyball.
Okay.
Because I was already top five in the nation for 16 when I was only 14. So
how do you make that decision?
It's complicated. Honestly, like when I think of right now, like it's complicated, but you have to always think about long-term results. So in my case, like my dad already ambitioned that I was going to have a, you know, go to the United States, play for a school, have a full scholarship. So what is like the bigger, you know, like chances or stuff like that?
Yeah.
So they thought it in a way that it's like volleyball is, well, both are team like sports, but volleyball, it's like a more like you have subs, and tennis too. Like, it's just like a different type of, you know, situation.
Yep.
But I guess it was more because like, again, it's my height. Like, again, like I'm tall for like a normal average girl, but like for an volleyball athlete, I'm not that tall.
Yeah.
So it was all that into place. And also, like, you know, I had a better, I guess, career in my tennis so far, and I was just starting, so right. I had like a higher cap. And so that's when they made the decision, and they liked a lot more tennis and like the people, I guess, that was involved in it and whatnot. So that's ultimately where we had to make the decision. It's like, all right, we're going all for it for tennis.
So we got tennis is a large part of our life at a young age. What else are we doing? Do we have school? Do we have friends? Or is it just all sports?
So school, I did go to school, of course, but school did get a large hit because of the sports.
Yeah.
So up to ninth grade, I went to an all girls school, and it was a Venezuelan school, but it was very high academically. So it was very hard because tennis didn't, you know, required to travel a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, different states at first, and then different countries. So I was missing like that's why I had to switch, and I'll get back to that. But I was missing school an average of 50 days per year.
Woo.
Yeah. So they were not taking it in like the all girls school because he was very high academically.
Yeah.
And, you know, competitive. Everyone like also was going for, you know, you can go either to the university in Venezuela or go to the United States. They had both programs to offer over there.
So sorry to interrupt, but what's the size of the school? Do you know how many girls were in your class? Like, or what was the situation there?
Yeah. So my class size, it was an A and B kind of class, and it was 20 girls per class.
Okay. And then in your age, how many would you say were at the school?
At my age?
Yeah.
So, I mean, 20 in my grade, I guess like A, and then 20 on B.
Oh, so you're saying 40 in total?
Yeah. 40.
Wow.
Yeah, no, but it gets even smaller because then I switched to an international school and I was only 10 in my entire grade. Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, no. So that's why it helped me a lot because they were willing to, you know, this is a school where it's the requirement was to have double nationality.
Okay.
Or if you only have one, it was not from the school that you enroll. So like in this case, I went to school in Venezuela. So the people that were there for me, they're like son of ambassadors, son of diplomats. So like from everywhere. And they were willing to help if you were traveling or you were not able to like make it to class or like whatnot. So they were already like know my projection of like having you know, full scholarship in the U.S. So like they was like you know, like the bachelor degree or not bachelor, but like I guess like the high school degree was gonna be equivalent to like graduating in the United States.
Okay. So that's something they more dealt with, something they were ready to kind of handle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you say the teachers were better? Do you feel like you understood things better, or how was it being in a class of 10?
So yeah, I do appreciate smaller sizes classes because I was able to like meet my, you know, my classmates in a very, you know, higher degree. I met their uncles, I met the dog's uncle, you know, like I know everyone in their family.
Yeah.
The teacher also was like very close to us. Like I remember like my French class, it was only two, like one in me and another classmate. And sometimes like when my classmate will get sick, it will go to like, you know, to the nurse. Like we will all go to the nurse. Like, we will, like the teacher would just bring the class to the nurse, you know, like, cause that's how small it was. And I mean, it was great because it did like pay attention to like whenever we had problems or something was happening. Obviously, like I had like a month that I missed school and like the teachers were like, you know, what's happening and like, how's your tournament going and like stuff like that. It was not more like they had no idea what was happening or like, you know, when somebody missed, like it was noticeable. So that was a good thing. Like, and learning wise, yes, you do learn a lot.
And so I went to public school and we were lucky if our class was under 30. And I just think that if we had either more teachers or just smaller class sizes, it would be more beneficial because we're all there supporting each other. And like if I missed like a couple of days, like the teachers were upset because they had to like get all the stuff ready for me and things like that. But they had so much to deal with. I just think it's a tough system.
I think so too. And I think like teachers are pretty much like heroes when it like comes to like those larger sizes because it's like so much to like hang on. And how will like a kid feel like if your teacher doesn't even know your name, you know?
Oh,
like,
absolutely. Yeah. So no, it's wild. As far as nutrition went, was the school making lunches for you guys? Did your family have what you were eating or what did that look like going through the school system?
So nutrition wise is, see, like stuff like that, I never really had my lunch being prepared or anything like that. But my dad, you had like a credit card kind of system. So my parents had like their credit card in. And so I can just go to the canteen and order whatever I want. Mm-hmm. I was on, until I went to college, I was on the malnourished side of things. Like, okay. I was very underweight growing up. I did have a nutritionist with me. I was, when I was competitive at a very high level in my juniors, I was prescribed to eat 4,000 calories.
Ooh, getting up there.
Yeah. I mean, I was training 4 hours a day, every day, on the weekends even more, on the summers even more. So, mm-hmm. And again, due to genetics, it's most likely that I'm always going to be on the thinner side of things.
Yeah.
So, like, if I did not pay attention to my nutrition, I'll obviously, like, lean out, and we didn't want that. So I had, like, a carte blanche kind of style. Like, I could eat whatever I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I wish or not, but, like, I didn't have, like, a – I guess, like, in the way, like, I had a kind of, like, a protocol of, like, yes, eat your fruits, eat your vegetables and stuff like that. But, like, like, whatever I wanted, since I had to, like, eat so many calories, like, right. I'll eat, like, 4 empanadas, like, in breakfast and, like, then at lunchtime. And, you know, like, this was not even monitored. My dad just, like, paid the bill, like, at the end of the month or something like that. But, you know, I never really, like, or up to this day, like, drank any sodas or stuff like that. In college, that was a weird transition because I was so used to, like, natural fruit juices.
Okay.
That going here to the States, you don't have such things. So, like, not really used to, like, drinking water during meals. So I drank milk.
Okay.
On every meal.
Yeah.
Like, on school. So, which caused me to, like, have, like, over, like, calcified bones. Like, my bones were too, like, strong, which is not a good thing because you have want to have some sort of flexibility on your bones. So, like, little stuff like that can affect your,
So I funny, for a very long time, I would only drink milk because I'm like, oh, this is, like, fantastic for your bones and stuff like that. And then, like, around 20 or something like that, I started, like, toying with my diets and seeing what, like, I had a good reaction to and stuff like that. And it turned out, like, dairy, I previously was tested and it said, no, you're not allergic to lactose. But then whenever I would drink a lot of milk, I'd, like, my allergic reaction was my nose would be runny. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going to have milk for a little while. We're going to see how it goes. The reaction clears up right away. I'm like, ah, man, like, I love milk. So for maybe, like, 6 or 7 years, like, I never really had milk. But we actually just got raw milk from a farm by us. And that's why I'm drinking it right now. It's been, like, 3 days. I've been drinking it, and I feel fantastic on it.
How do you, like, find out that you're not lactose tolerant then?
So I got an allergy, the prick test done. So they do a lot of pricks on your arms and stuff like that. Like, it told me I was allergic to wheat, soy, and corn. So, like, a lot of things that I was allergic to.
Oh, wow.
But, like, the one thing that I wasn't allergic to was lactose. So what I'm assuming is it might be something in the process of how they pasteurize milk. Not a doctor. I don't know for sure, but that's my assumption.
Right.
Because I haven't had any issues with this. But how did you find out that drinking that much milk, or, like, what was even the situation around that?
So as a, like, a student athlete, you get, they run a lot of tests on you every year. So that's where, like, cause they will do anything from, like, blood work to, you know, like, bone density and stuff like that. So it was, like, in one of my school's, like, tests where they, like, found out it's, like, your bones are, like, overly calcified, which is, like, it's good because, like, if you were, like, to fall from, like, a, you know, from, like, a 3-floor, you know, your bones are not going to break. But, like, at the same time, because, like, I mean, I do have multiple surgeries on me, luckily none from bones, but I did break a lot of my ligaments because of, like, how much they, like, can, like, friction with each other.
Interesting. So to rewind just a hair, that was just a very interesting topic. As far as like juniors and stuff like that goes in Venezuela, when do you know that like we're going to do this, we're going to school, and how does that process really work?
So when it comes to tennis, you have to film a video.
Okay.
With your skills. So I did that. And also you had to have like a kind of like a repertoire of like ranking.
Gotcha.
What like what tournaments have you played, who have you beaten, and stuff like that. The scouting, it's different because it's not that the coach can come to you and watch
right.
you play.
Yeah.
Because you're in so many different countries, and most, and like I think like tennis will be like one of the most diverse mm-hmm. when it comes to nationalities.
Yeah.
When it come in the United States, like everyone's from like everywhere. And so it's mostly dependent on like right now they have something like, because actually people like will ask me, it's like some score that I
your UTR.
UTR, yeah. It's like, what's your...
my like, cousin plays at Western Michigan. It's at their school there. And so I know a decent amount about it. And they're like, oh, like, how good is... What's his UTR? I'm like, what is this now? Like, well, I've been missing out.
Yeah. So it's like, what's your UTR? And I was like, I don't even know. Like, you know, I play college. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
So right now it's the UTR, but back then it was more like, you know, to see your strokes. Also, it's very depending on doubles. Doubles and singles are different rankings.
Okay.
It's not the same. Basically like what's your, cause we also don't have like high school. It's not like a real high school. Like that's only here in the US where it's like a high school sport.
Okay. So what is high school for you at that point then?
High school was just education. Like you don't play tennis in high school. You had to have your own private coach. Okay.
So it's not a school sport. It's just something you go out and do.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, okay. Yeah. So definitely that. And also it's kind of like, it's not easier than any sport. I will never say that because like, but it's not the same when you recruit like a midfielder for a soccer team or a spiker for a volleyball.
Yeah.
You know, these are, you can pretty much like play, you know, if you have a really good singles player, you know that they're going to beat most of the people.
Yeah.
Regardless. Because they're not depending on anything. Like, you don't really want, like, you don't really need them to click or have a feeling with their teammates because it's a team sport at the end of the day, but you're on that court by yourself all right. the time. So it's a different process in that case, I would say. So I did have something happen right before because I did have a really good like junior's career or whatnot. But when I was like 16, I was already like national champions in singles and doubles in Venezuela. I was top 50 in South America. My parents moved me to a tennis academy in Naples, Florida.
Okay.
And I was there still in international school. So like we were traveling, I was training 3 hours of tennis, 1.5 of conditioning every day. So I got burned. I got overtrained and then MRIs came back. So I needed surgery for my wrist and my ankle. So that was my first two surgeries that I had to have.
Okay.
I went through surgery, why not? And then within 3 or 4 months later, I was playing, but I was losing to everyone pretty much. Like my comeback was not as strong as I thought. Like I was pain free, whatnot, but my level had completely disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened here is that we were a little bit scared because that was like a semester before going into college. I had already signed my letter of intent.
Okay.
With the University of Tampa. I had already like achieved, like coach had loved me. Like I remember that he sent me the letter of intent. I was traveling. I was in Georgia. I was in the Middle East. So I was like, he sent me there, like letter of intent. He sent me all this stuff. Like we were already signed. But my level wasn't there.
Okay.
My level was just not there. Obviously, like whatever I have achieved, nobody can like take that away from me. But
right.
due to surgeries, due to that, like, I was like, I don't know, like, it was in just like any scholarship, you sign the first year, but you had to perform in order to like continue your scholarships. So we have like really high hopes of, obviously we're excited, we have achieved what we were like dreaming for and working for. But yeah, we had that like roadblock.
So my mentally, how were you handling that?
I was devastated because I was losing against people I have never before, and in a very like easy way, because it's a hard comeback. You're so excited to get back on court, but yeah, you forget all the little details and like the grid that the day-to-day gives you. That's already like, it's a full pause. I was like in crutches, like actually, like they had to do wrist surgery first. So I was able to like do, have, like be strong enough to like hold crutches for my ankle.
Wow.
So, yeah, like the first like 2 weeks I was like in bed rest because I was both like, so I was just taking like, you know, sleeping pills to like the days go faster and whatnot. Right. So my dad did see that and did see that I was mentally like, you know, I was, yeah, again, like we have achieved what we always dreamt for, but I had lost most of my confidence and like everything. So this is where my dad came into play, and that's why he's the best person with my mom that I know. He got me to meet Roger Federer in person.
Okay.
So, which is my biggest idol of all time.
Yeah.
So my dad had a travel, like a business travel in China. Okay. And that's where two of the biggest tournaments were happening at the moment. And Roger Federer was going to play. So he took me with him for a month to China.
Wow.
And yeah, so I met him in person. I have, you know, a photo and like autograph and like all of that. I remember seeing him. I cried. I cried. And I was like, I did my college entry essay on like this whole encounter too.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just amazing. And that gave me such a like purpose again of like what I was going for.
Okay.
And like, you know, like things can go bad and like wrong. And, you know, and I think it up to this day, like right now he's recovering from like knee surgery too. And like stuff like that. Yes, it's hard. So like that brought a lot of light in my life again and purpose of tennis. Yeah. Because my dad was like a little bit nervous that I would like even quit altogether because like he saw me like, you know, kind of like failing so much and being so upset about it. And, you know, it's hard. Even though like I had so much going on in the future, but like I didn't know if I was going to perform the way that I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So that brought a lot of life at this point, you know, like we were graduating from high school. We were excited, packing, all of that. So we, packed my things, moved to Tampa, Florida. And, you know, preseason, tennis is a spring. So like, I still had time, okay, but we did have like three big tournaments in the fall.
Yeah.
So, and also like, this was a good time to like, you know, rank the tennis players and, you know, who's going to play what and all that stuff. I ended up winning all the tournaments in singles during my fall.
Let's go.
Yeah, so I was positioned as number one player for the University of Tampa, and I actually played my 4 years as number one.
That's amazing.
But, yeah.
What would be the best way you describe your game? Like, what did you have going on?
I have a lot of grit. My game is not flashy. It's not something that you will, like, be like, oh, my God, that's such a, like, beautiful, like, forehand winner or anything like that. But I do stay in the point. I'm a person that studies very well my player that I'm, okay, and I stay on court. I'm like kind of more like, I'll say like Rafa, because like he's a very consistent player, and I actually went to a Spanish tennis academy, and that's like how my game is. Okay. More consistency. Florida, Tampa is actually at sea level, so it's a slower court, mm-hmm, so it plays a lot in my advantage.
Yeah,
it's not a fast game. So it's minus more like deep consistency, ground strokes, and yeah, just staying on point and never miss. Like that's usually like how I am. Like my own forces, errors are minimal. My winners are not that, unless you like bring yourself to the net or something, like that's where I usually like will have like passing shots and stuff like that, and like how my winners will work at. But yeah, it's a game with a lot of patience, a lot of grit, and a lot of spirit, I'll say. Yeah, that's usually what my game is about.
Did you always have that type of game? Did you just develop that, or how did that happen?
So what's actually interesting is that my college career was like my best tennis career of my life. I will say that in my college, I did, I guess, sit more to the consistency, because as a number one tennis player, I did play a lot with a lot of big hitters.
Yeah.
So I knew that I was not going to, you know, outbeat them or outpower them. So yeah. I went into more into build more consistency. So that's how I was able to like beat those type
of players. You're going to crush their soul. I was more of a power hitter just because my consistency wasn't there. I did not play at a high level. So if someone would get back like a big forehand I'd hit, I'd be like, come on, what do I got to do here?
Right. So for me, that's like big serve persons, big hitters and stuff like that. So like I was more like the three quarter kind of player, kind of high ball with lots of toss spin. So they wouldn't like, or they get like, you know, greedy and want to hit it. But like, it's such a hard, you have to have such a, like a good timing for that.
Yeah.
So like at first, you know, like start like missing. And once you get that first set in, they're mentally not there anymore. So like, it will be a easier second set when that like was achieved. So it all came down to the first 3-4 games.
Really?
And yeah. Cause that's what college is about. And that's like, I guess like why I was better at college. Cause I understood that part.
Okay.
Because in juniors, you always like constantly play the same person over and over again. And like, you know, already who are you going to play for semifinals or finals. And so you're just like pretty much like shaping your game to beat that person. It's like, oh, gotcha. I lost this match. So like, let me work on this and this and this. In college, you pretty much don't play the same player until like the next season if they are not graduating. So you just have to build your own repertoire and be good at what you're good at. So when you get out there, you know, you can, you know, like be more solid on your game, and they can fall in your trap rather than you falling on theirs.
I'm going to let my dog out.
Yeah.
There she goes. So as far as going through college, what was it like being on a team?
It was the first thing. I honestly thought that being on a team was fantastic, but I was not the favorite at first. I honestly think that being on a team had a lot of benefits. And I learned more as I was in there, but like being the number one player when it comes to a ranking system, it's not the best to be in a team, because unfortunately not everyone wants you to win, because you know, you had that number two, number three, number four fighting for that top squad.
Yeah.
And you have it there. So it's a complicated system to say the least, especially when it comes to women's sports, because you're so competitive against each other.
Right.
So, it's not the same like soccer or like, you know, like, you know,
right.
Other ones where you're like, you know, you're even separated in courts. So, you know, like you're not playing the number one court, you're playing the number two court, you know, like. So it builds a lot of character. It makes you, you know, like have, I guess, like the relationship that you need to have with people. But at the same time, you know, you cannot trust everyone in your team. It sounds bad, but it is how it works. So
when I played, so in high school, I never really played tennis until like freshman year. I was just, I would say, a natural athlete. So senior year comes along, like I'm going to be the senior. All the guys playing above me had graduated. I'm like, cool, I'm going to play number one singles.
Right.
And the coach comes up to me. He's like, hey, there's a freshman coming in. He's going to be at the number one spot. I want you to take number two and be captain. And I'm like, what do you mean? I've played against a bunch of freshmen. I'm going to be way better than him. But the day I knew that he was going to beat me was when, like, our first practice. So for us, it's right after the snow melts is when we can go outside and play.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, where have you been practicing over the winter? I'm like, what do you mean? There's been snow on the courts. I had done no off-season training. I didn't even know that was a thing.
You're like, well, yeah, it's indoors mostly.
Yeah. But so for me, I had no issue. Like, he would kill me all the time. Like, it was fun just being able to play against him. So, like, yeah. I never had any issue with him being in first, just because right. I wasn't even going to touch that. But how did you know that they were trying to come get your spot, or like what did you see?
So I mean, I can talk. Like, there were some players that would like hire private instructors to like better their games,
okay.
or like it will be like not even that, because like if you were like working hard, I will not, like, you know, if you beat me, you beat me. That's how it works. But like if you're gonna come back at me through little stuff, like it was more going behind my back and telling coach about, you know, parties I've been to, or like,
oh no,
those type of stuff. It's like you're not working with your teammate and stuff like right. that. But my coach was like really sad and like believe in me a lot, so he was like more telling the players, he's like, see, like she gets a W, like I know like what you're telling me about and stuff like that. Something that if it was something performance-wise on the court that really has to bring it to my attention, you bring it to me. But, you know, the records are set straight. Like, she has a great, like, record. She keeps winning and stuff like that. Like, she obviously goes to, like, every practice. So, like, I don't see anything out of the normal where you're, like, going to say anything. So yeah. They will, like, bring little attention. It's like if I was, like, late to the courts or, like, stuff like that. Very, like, mild.
Yeah.
Details that it was just like, just grow up, just play, you know, like
do you feel like you had a different attitude because you came from Venezuela and had to kind of deal with everything yourself and never really had that, like, those issues going on there?
Well, everyone was from everywhere, so everyone was fighting. So like we have people from Europe, like we have people from Australia, we have people from South America to like Brazil. We have people from the States all okay. over. So it was not, everyone was fighting for the same spot and gotcha. Same goal. So like, I was not like different from everyone else. Mm-hmm. I think like everyone had their unique story. So like, it's,
right.
I wouldn't take that away from anyone. So. Mm-hmm.
Did you have fun while traveling to different schools and stuff like that? Did you guys ever get to go sightseeing and anything like that?
Of course, yes. We went to Wimbledon actually the first year.
Nice.
Yeah, so like, which is on right now. Yeah, so we went to Wimbledon. We play at Wimbledon too. We play against King's College. So we went like play. We also play some tennis academy. I can't remember the name.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we did go, like, we travel a lot. UT, it's a private school, so we do have a lot of budget.
Okay.
So yeah, we absolutely, and every time, every spring break, well, which I mean, Tampa is like an unlimited spring break, I believe. So like, you know, like it was always like great weather. So we did have a lot of like schools actually visiting and traveling to us.
Okay.
But we also travel everywhere else. We play indoor, we play grass, we play hard true, we play clay. We play all type of surface, and yeah, it was, I mean, that's why, like, for me, like, college was such a, like, a great experience, because we had it all. And, again, good things about being number one, you had a lot of perks. You had like extra uniforms, extra shoes, extra budget. So, I mean, I was living the dream, you know?
So minus tennis practice and the matches, what were you doing when you had a little bit of time?
Well, I had to keep a good academic standard. So okay. I did had a 4.0 GPA too. So, because I did not want to have anything like told against me, you know, because I already had like some of my teammates trying to like look for something. So I didn't have like, didn't want anyone for like room of errors, but I did build great relationships and friendships at UT. So I was a very social butterfly kind of person too. And everyone knew me at school. So like everyone knew who I was. So like that was like playing to my favor. So I did go to lots of party. I did go travel a lot too, like outside of tennis.
Okay.
I went to like my friend's hometowns and like, you know, that sort of stuff. I had, interestingly enough, like my roommates did not do any sports. So that was a good way to disconnect.
Yeah.
And, like one of the things I didn't want to have is a roommate from like either my team, because that would be like too stressful. So I did have like things to like focus on other than just like tennis or school. So like, I'm like thinking back, but like all of my roommates were like from different majors. I did finance. So like I had roommates that were like psychology, writing, marketing. So like I did have other like, I think, topics to explore, and they were from different backgrounds, Canada, United States, Bolivia. So like, it was a good way to like, you know, sidetrack and like know that I was just not only there for tennis. So I did do a lot of stuff. You know, living in Florida, it's like a very weather friendly thing. So
I would agree.
I did do a lot of like outdoor stuff. So like we will go to the beach on the weekends. We will do some camping too. So I will say like I wasn't like the type of person that really was too obsessed with like tennis at that point, because like we were already playing enough.
Right.
So whenever I did get like a chance to like disconnect, I did fully
you enjoyed
take on it.
So when you travel, since you've done so much traveling, what do you like to do? Do you like to just go sit in an area and enjoy? Do you get shown around by the locals? What do you like about traveling the most?
So it depends, but if I was to travel by myself, solo traveling, I'm a big type of like planner. So I would like go from like, you know, hour to hour, like plan and be like, all right, we wake up at 8, we have like lunch at this place, we have like, we're going to sightsee over here.
Okay.
So like I want to have a more structured kind of way, but I usually will travel more with friends, or like we'll stay at friends that are already local.
Gotcha.
So they already know where to go. So like they save me a lot of time in regards to that, but I enjoy mostly like outdoor kind of like style. I'm not too drawn into like, you know, big restaurants or like flashy places and stuff like that. Like show me the mountains, show me the river, show me the lake kind of style. So like I do enjoy more of that, but like, and for instance, like if I go to Europe, like there's not such things like that. So like it will be more like the architecture and, you know, like the story behind it. So like I guess like every place have its own like gift or like place to like enjoy. So it really varies from place to place.
Is there any place that you continuously keep going back to, or are you like, hey, I gotta keep going to new places?
I am more like, let's go to new places type of person. I honestly, I think like every place, there's so many places to go to that you cannot really be repeating one over the other.
Yeah.
So I guess like in the past 2 years, I've been like focusing a lot of in like US.
Okay.
And I think it was like the main excuse was because of quarantine and travel restrictions.
Yep.
But I've traveled to like over 40 countries already.
Wow.
I just hit last weekend was Minnesota was 25th, so I have 25 more states to go.
Yeah.
To visit here in the US. So like that's something that gets me like very thrilled and like, you know, keep going kind of style. So like obviously like I want to like tackle everything, you know, like visit a friend, right. you know, like spend, check that list, check the new place, the new state kind of style and like, mm-hmm. you know, new places. So,
okay.
yeah, I try to like bundle it up like that.
So as our 4 years are coming to an end at school, what is your mindset on the path that you're going to be taking after that ends?
So by the time I was almost graduating school, I had already 4 surgeries on me okay. and my body. So I already knew that tennis was not the go-to, and I would have like needed so much budget for it. So like, again, like UT supported me a lot with like my tennis career, and I had such a, like a good, you know, matches and like record, and, you know, I have achieved so much. Like I played number one for my school. I was ranked nationally in NCAA. I think my best rank like was top 40 nice. In the nation. And then I have a poster at the University of Tampa Athletic Center. You know, like coach talks highly about me. Like I had all those things. So I wanted to like end tennis like in a very high note, kind of okay. like, you know, this sport gave everything for me. So like, let's just like, you know, shut the like the blinds kind of style and be like, because like then if I continue, probably like, I think I was reading this on a book the other day where you're so invested in something, like let's say you go to the casino and you would be like, all right, we're just gonna like gamble for $100, and then you're down 1,000.
Yeah.
And it's like you just keep going because like, you know, you're already down 1,000, you know, like
right.
you
wanna why not?
So that's where I didn't wanna like go to in the place of like tennis was. So like if I continue like lose, and it's like, no, let's keep it another year and stuff like that. So I was like, you know what? Let's end it on the high note. Like physically my body's giving out. Like I don't think I can keep going on a higher level. So I was ready to like get on my, you know, I'm very passionate about finance. So okay. I was like willing to like start my career there and, you know, leaving tennis behind from there.
So were you doing any internships in finance, or how did you pick where to go next?
Well, as a full-time student athlete, there's not so much room that you can have. So, but I'm a hustler. So I did make good connections.
Okay.
So I didn't know people that work in the industry that I wanted to work in, which was banking.
Okay.
And I graduated December 17th, and I started working December 19th. And the reason why was that they actually offered me the job during my finals week.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, like, let me take my finals. Like, can I start next Monday? Like, you know, graduation is on Saturday, and then can I start Monday? And it's like, please just be the last time you ask for like an extension. It's like, you already graduate. I mean, you already like have a, like a solid job. Why do you need to like take your finals? And it's like, yeah. you know, like, let me end the, also a good note. Like, I'm not just going to flunk my finals, right. you know,
pride.
So, yeah, I graduated on Saturday, started working full time, Monday. Yeah.
So what was that position? What were you doing?
I was a financial analyst at Citibank.
Okay.
Yeah, I was doing letters of credits with, so it's basically like securing the, I guess, negotiations with Latin America with the United States. So that's what I was doing.
So was that something that you were passionate about as far as like, hey, I'm in financing or I'm in banking, or was there a next move from that spot?
I guess like my dad did importation exportation. Okay. So that's something that I like already kind of knew of and caught my interest. But
yeah,
I was honestly like, I didn't know what I wanted. So I just knew like a kind of like a solid plan of like a broad thing. So like, okay. I didn't want anything specific. So, and since I didn't do any internship, but I did take very hands-on classes in school. So like, I sort of wanted, knew what I wanted to do. So like, I wanted to be like in the banking industry, but I just didn't know which area exactly.
Okay. So we're working probably over 40 hours a week at this point. Yeah. What are we doing with our body since we're not doing tennis anymore?
So obviously I didn't, I mean, this is all part of like when you gain so much confidence and this is like something that sports will give you. I was like, you know what? I was a student athlete, so I can obviously do something else apart yeah. from, you know, working full time. Never done it in my life, but obviously I could do more. So I did do my master's at the same time, working full time. Which was a disaster. I mean, like, it was not a disaster at the end of the day. Like, I did have, I mean, I was a honor student and stuff like that. But, like, it really sleep deprived me because
I bet.
Yeah, so I was doing my master's. And then when I had my ACL surgery, I was not doing any sports.
Okay.
So in order to, like, not have time, since I did not have time to work out, I did my master's because I started as a part-time, but then I put it full-time because I didn't work out. So I'm
not working out, but I think I'll do my master's. I gotta yeah. do something.
Right. So yeah, I pretty much had no life at one point because I was working 40 hours, even more sometimes, on a new job that I never, you know, taken upon. Then I was going to classes in the afternoon and then I was studying on the weekends. So
did you eat? Did someone make food for you? How did you find time for that?
Adam, I honestly don't know. And when I get too busy, the problem is I forget to eat.
Yeah.
It happens to me a lot. So like sometimes I'll be like, you know, I'll spend the full time in the library and it's like, oh, it's 7 p.m. I probably need to like have some lunch or something. You know, I was, you know, very depending on coffee all the time. And yeah, I pretty much was like a robot at this point. Like, I honestly think like those were like the busiest time. I was no longer, like those 18 months that I had to do like my master's, I just didn't like, I don't even know, but I don't regret it.
Hey, so you make it through 18 months, we get our master's. What's the next move from there?
So from there, I just actually started having a life. Like, I found CrossFit. I started doing CrossFit, and I did, so...
All right, what was your first WOD?
So interestingly enough, like this is how little I knew about CrossFit. I'll go to CrossFit and I already had that mentality of like college and training so much. And, you know, I'll go in the morning and in the afternoon.
Perfect.
Every day.
Perfect.
But I mean, like people would be like, this girl is crazy. And like, you know, because I think it was one coach that coached both times. And it's like, Tashi, do you know that the workout is the same throughout the whole day? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I think I'm just trying to beat my time of the morning, you know, like, and it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And I was like, well, I obviously don't know what I'm doing here. You know, like,
yeah.
I was like, cause I mean, at this point I always say that it's like, I've always like been in sports all my life that I'm scared that sometimes I don't know if I know how to do anything else. Cause yeah. like, I'm always like, So whenever I have those shutdowns period where I'm not like working out, I honestly, I was like, what's out there? You know, like, yeah. And everything always comes back, even like when I'm at a party or like when I go out to the bars and stuff like that, I'm still wearing like, you know, my gym clothes and like stuff like that. I mean, like I'm trying to be social, but like there's something rooted on me that it always like have like identity. So like, when I was not working out and then I come back to the gym trying to make up for the time that I was not. And yeah. it's like, well, it just really doesn't work that way. It's like, you should only come to one class and like, if something, and if you're coming back, do a different workout, but right. don't do the same one twice in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't remember, but like when I started CrossFit, I couldn't do any of the movements. So yeah. I don't know.
So when did you start CrossFit?
I started CrossFit around 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, and I found it because of one of my teammates in college. She also did CrossFit, and I actually did CrossFit. My first workout was during college.
Okay.
But I was so focused on, like, you know, my school and my tennis. So she's like, we went to the class and whatnot. And I think, I mean, I did like the intro classes. So they were like teaching me how to snatch, and it was like running and then some air squats. And like, yeah. I thought it was like pretty, you know, challenging and stuff like that. And it's like, I love this, but I cannot do this right now.
Yep.
So I was like, I will circle back, which I did years later.
Okay.
I was like, obviously when you close the door there, like, I was trying new things, Zumba classes. I've never been like a gym rat kind of style. I don't like the gym itself. Yeah. So I was like, I need something that like has community. It has like push. It has like, and what I like it so much is that there were so many new movements that I don't know how to do. So like, I knew that I was going to be entertained for a while. So I was like, yeah, this works out.
Absolutely. So with our masters, did we also get a new job, or did we stay in the position that we were at?
No. So when I got my masters, I mean, I stayed at CA Bank, but I got a promotion after that. So I've always worked in banking. I only work at Citibank and then UBS now. But yeah, I just acquired a new role. So it was a lot more responsibilities and like all of that. So that's why I was like, thank God I did my master's earlier, because like right now I don't see myself like doing it.
Yeah,
you know, like how I did it. So yeah, I did get a new position. But yeah, so that's like the good outcome of like pushing through all those efforts.
Absolutely. So since you started doing CrossFit, did you have to start meal prepping, or did you have to eat more, or how did you feel?
I honestly, no, I'm not a meal prepper. I never been like somebody that is like obsessed with like nutrition. And I did get though a nutrition certificate.
Okay.
That I did get. So I did get a nutrition certificate. And so I was just like more mindful of like eating healthy and whatnot, but never been like, oh, I need to like weigh how much this thing are and like all of that. So the nutrition part was like more because of, I've been to like several nutritionists and I was just a little bit concerned about my energy levels.
Okay.
And I was like, here, like, I'm not coming here because like I'm trying to lose weight or gain weight. I'm more, you know, I need something to improve my, you know, my energy. I think like I'm drained throughout the day. I don't feel so good. And I mean, I was like, I'm young. I don't think it's like a problem that, you know, like I'm already beat up or stuff like that. And this person only told me, it's like, oh, you should change your sugar. And I was like, no, that's not it. You know, like, I was like, I did not just pay you this amount of money to tell me that I need to change from like whatever sugar I'm eating. No. And so I was like, no, you know what? Let me get my own resources.
Yeah.
So like I did like a course and stuff like that. So I was like more mindful of like eating the right type of food at the right time in order to maximize my energy throughout the day.
So what did that look like? Did it look like just having any type of carbohydrates like an hour, half hour before workouts, or what did the change look like for you?
It was more like snacks taking, not depriving myself so much on food. I had a problem where I was not so hungry in the morning, so I was not eating enough, and then having a big lunch.
Yeah.
Because of like how much food I did not eat, and then eating caffeine, like taking caffeine at wrong times of the day.
Okay.
Pre-workouts, wrong time of the day. And then at the end of the day, not having a proper meal to replenish all the energy, or like, so that will look like more protein, carbohydrates,
yeah,
and small fats. But it's important also like throughout my workouts also to have like a banana, or like a snack bar and Absolutely. Stuff like that in order to like boost like the litter energy.
And so, how quickly after you changed that did you start feeling like you had more energy?
I guess like it was around there because like it everything factors in, like sleep factors in, how busy I was with work, and also like the type of workout that I was having. So I will say like within like a month, like it was pretty quickly okay. that I was able to like define it. Yeah. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good.
So as far as we're moving down the line here, we found CrossFit, we're getting promotions and things like that. Are you still focusing heavily on traveling at that point, or like what else are we doing?
I guess like I started to travel more. I was like always, and I guess I what I added into that fact like into. That area was like competitions.
Okay.
I started competing in CrossFit as nice. A team. Yeah. So I started doing that and I liked it a lot. I guess so. And also I started doing a lot of photo shoots.
Okay.
So I think it was more to that. So I started having like sponsors again and, you know, like, I kind of like call it like a redemption period. And up to this point, I think it's like redemption because I do have a great history. And like when I look back and I talk about my tennis days, I feel super proud about it. I, you know, like it really like lights the room for me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But at the time it was a lot of pressure. It was a lot of like, you know, stress. And I did never enjoy it. Okay. I never enjoy playing. So that's why like people will ask me, it's like, will you like, do you still play? Like, do you? And I was like, I promised myself to never play another set, another tiebreaker, because it's so much stressful.
Wow.
And I'm so competitive and I still have that mindset, but I need to understand that I don't have the same, you know, time and, you know, everything that, you know, I can get out there. And it really brings it back to like my post operations day where I couldn't win anything. And that was so frustrating. And that was so depressing.
Right.
So like, I will never put myself into that situation again. So the redemption part is that I couldn't like fully focus on winning this time. I had to like get myself out there in the competition, you know, not be too blind about like, you know, so, you know, eyes on the prize kind of style, you know, like get out there, have fun. If you cannot, you know, do it, don't push yourself to the way that, you know, like, again, at the end of the day, I have 4 surgeries on me because pushing myself to limits, right. So I don't want that. And right now it was like, it's more enjoying. Don't look at the leaderboard. You know, if you win, you win. That's great. You know, but that's not like what we came here for.
Yeah. What would you say your sweet spot is for CrossFit movements?
I'm a very strong player. So it's lifting for sure. That's like my strength. Yeah. The strength, it's my strength. But yeah, I will say like anything that has to do with weights, I do shine upon. Like I do. Yeah. So it's my best.
Since you're in, are you still in Florida?
No, I moved to Nashville now.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say that they had Grid League for a while, but now that's, I think it's just in Florida. I didn't know if you did any competing in that or anything.
Yes. So I actually did participate in Grid League. I played for the Tampa Bay Brigade. And the only year I did, we won the Florida Grid League. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I did. I was their strength player. Yeah.
That's very fun. Yeah. Was that a fun experience? Was it too stressful or was it pretty fun?
I did not like it. I personally did not like it. I know my teammates and former teammates can say differently. I do see people liking it, especially like if you're a utility or a gymnast.
Yeah.
You get to do the cool stuff. But as a strength player, you had to move weight at a very fast pace.
Right.
And that wrecks you.
Yeah.
Like that's not safe. And that's why I didn't really have fun mm-hmm. on So I guess like, and just like anything, like we won that year. So I was like that. I think that's good for me.
We'll go out on top.
Right. It's like, it's cool. So I was like, I enjoy more of the CrossFit side of things.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it's still like fast paced and whatnot. But like, I think that there's like, you can always like stop. And here it's like, you almost felt bad if you did.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So what moved you to Nashville?
The job. Okay. I moved for UBS. Yes. And I mean, I visited like a couple months before and I loved the city. So I was like, I thought it was like a great like time for a move.
Mm-hmm. So what are we getting into now as in daily life?
So right now, I mean, I work full time. This year I got another promotion, so life's pretty good. And I mean, I bought a house this year too. But I still work out. I still play tennis very regularly. Yes.
Okay.
I think like I'm moving more towards, you know, like I getting more involved with the community and whatnot. I'm still trying to like crack where I can fit time to like, I really want to get into like giving back in the community in regards to tennis.
Okay.
So like, only being here for a little bit more than 2 years. So like still networking, still trying to find the right people to like address, you know, like where can I, you know, have maybe have some clinics.
Right.
Cause I do not have any like background in like coaching or anything like that. So like, if I was to stay in Tampa, I know that like through my school,
right,
I could like done that easier, but like here, it would probably take me a little bit more time, but always willing to.
Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah. We'll finish things up with the last two questions, but also if someone was to follow you along, where would they follow you on social media?
So my Instagram is Tashi Fitness. So it will be with double I. So TASHII Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be Tashi Tennis. So now it's Tashi Fitness. Obviously I love to, you know, try all fitness things and whatnot since I really didn't get to do a lot of that in growing up. So now I'm trying to explore new like sort of fitness and whatnot. So
awesome. Yeah. So the last two questions are, what's your definition of health? Not necessarily the dictionary definition, but what is health to you?
So health, and that's something that I do try to, I guess, not press anyone to like have one definition. And it's like, it's anything that makes you feel right and just like your best self.
Okay.
So a lot of people link health to fitness or like working out,
right,
because they think they're going to make them look good. Mm-hmm. And that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, fitness, you know, if you take it to a level where I did in my younger days, is something that it can wreck you. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you still have to take lots of medicine. I had to go to, you know, lots of hospitals and all of that. So that's not health. Health is anything that makes you look in your prime self and you're good. So like, I will link it more to like nutrition, eating good, feeling good about yourself, reading a book, you know, nourishing yourself from, you know, skin, brain, everything. Like that's health. I will not necessarily, you know, like sports, it has always been a big part of my life, but I will not necessarily think that that's health.
Okay.
Primarily.
Absolutely. And then what's something from your life that the people listening to the podcast would be able to take away as a positive?
I think based on my life, or, you know, I think like something is that to never give up.
Okay.
I think that perseverance is the name of the game. If I look back, if I was to just, you know, quit because of my surgeries and because I continue to lose, obviously my dad and my parents were a big, you know, pillar to my success in sports. But I think if you just wait it out, you just wait it out and know that it's not going to be bad days and, you know, the light's at the end of the tunnel and you keep being like strong, I think better things. Cause like, I can only imagine if I would have closed the door that day when I was 17 and never come back, I don't know how my life would have turned out. So.
Absolutely.
I would say like perseverance is like one of the big things. I had a lot of like knockdowns, but you know, you get back up. So yeah.
I love that. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.